I want to talk to you tonight. Sometimes, you know, as you're going through as a church and a pastor and some different subjects come back to you, and sometimes you look and you think, well, I know I preached that before, but there's different people here and different things of that sort. But I want to talk to us tonight about our God-given destiny. God-given destiny. You know, the word destiny brings a lot of different thoughts to some people and questions to our mind. And sometimes you talk about, you know, if you're into some of the science fiction stuff, and of course, you know, in Star Wars, it is your destiny, you know. Well, it gets kind of mystical. But for what I want to talk about, I want to use it as an all-encompassing term that means the course or path in life that includes the God-given destination that we're seeking and the journey to get there. So our destiny doesn't just include the end, it includes the journey also. God has a destiny and a purpose for our life, a plan for our life. And it is a faith-filled journey. Glory to God. It's so important that we learn every day is an opportunity to use our faith. What does that mean, use our faith? Every day is an opportunity to trust God. Every day there's an opportunity to say, let God be true and every man a liar. Every day there's an opportunity to say, well, let's just give another opportunity for the Word of God to work. Yes, hallelujah. You know, it's not necessarily sometimes when we hear about destiny, we start thinking about all the hard things I have to do. And yes, we have a part to play in this, but I want to talk about this a little bit. You know, destiny, some people believe that destiny is just fate. It's a result of chance, you know. Well, they were just destined to have that. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. God has made us free moral agents, or in other words, created us with a free will. The New Testament, I call it the law or the principle of the whosoever. How many times in the New Testament does it say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord? Whosoever believes. These type of things. It's not just a matter of fate or luck, even. Some things, you know, happen, seem just random. You just, you know, that bug just hits you in the face randomly. It wasn't like, you know, it's an attack of the devil or anything like that. Any of you ever riding on a motorcycle or some type of open framed vehicle, a bicycle, and you got attacked by a bug or something, it seems like? You know, the worst thing that ever happened is I got caught in a hailstorm one time out in the middle of the country, and you know, I was in a straight betwixt two to slow down and try not to get hit so hard, or to drive fast and not get hit so much, you know. And I was young at that time, so I think I drove fast and got hit harder. But anyway, but there is control over our life's course and our destiny and our outcome. You know, think about this. If we're told that we can hasten the coming of the Lord by what we do, that we can, there's some things we can do to cause the Lord to come back sooner than later. There's things we can do to give us long length of days, like obey your parents, right? There's things. So God has given us certain things and controls. But I want you to think of it this way tonight. Not only do we have a choice to fulfill God's destiny for our lives, we have a responsibility. We are bought with a price. Jesus has paid the price. He shed his blood. And our spirit and our bodies belong to him. And so we have a responsibility to discover that divine destiny. If you got your Bible, I want you to open up to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. So the Bible actually teaches both that God has planned a wonderful life for us and a destiny, but that we also have a responsibility to discover what that is and to live it. I'll read this from the King James. Proverbs 16:9 says this: a man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. The Christian Standard Bible says a man's heart plans his way. See, we have our part. We know this, God is always going to do his part. We can always depend on him. But notice this, we can plan our ways, but it's God who directs or determines our steps. even. So God has a plan, but we have the choice to follow that plan and the responsibility to follow that plan. You know, God's plans for our life is always going to put us in a position of dependence on Him. We're going to achieve our destiny. It's a process. It's a process. You know, here we just, we're in the middle of the start this week of the National Football League playoffs. We just had the college football playoffs. And football, you know, it's kind of an example of this might be like this, those of you that know the game, that a lot of times a team, it seems like, will start, well, they've moved it up now, on the 20 or the 25-yard line in what is called their own territory. All right? Now, the goal is to get it across the goal line on the other end of the field. Right? There's that. But the process that happens, unless you have an explosive play, a big play, is you go 10 yards at a time. So within the overall goal of reaching the end zone, there is also the goal of going 10 yards at a time and achieving that. So as you gain and as you walk every day, the divine destiny is being fulfilled. You don't see your ultimate destiny until you get the ball all the way across. A lot of times, you know, people, how many of you know people that have started but gave up? Right? They haven't, all they had to do is just keep running the ball. 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 I grew up, you know, really in the 70s was when I really started to notice things. And I was, my dad is an alumni of University of Illinois, and I had an uncle that was a big donor in the athletic department, and he had either 8 or 10, I believe it was 8 though, season tickets for the football, and then 4 season tickets in basketball. But football, he was right about the 45-yard line, really close to midfield, halfway up in the donor section of the field. Good set tickets. Well, one time, somehow, my dad had worked it out. So I got to see, Christian will like this, I got to see the Ohio State Buckeyes and Woody Hayes and Heisman Trophy winner Archie Griffin and Pete Johnson at fullback play at the University of Illinois. Now, Woody Hayes was a coach, old-style coach. They didn't throw the ball much, but they would beat you into submission. That game was 0-0 at halftime. That game ended 48-0, Ohio State. Because by the end of the game, the Illinois players were beat up. I mean, if 275-pound Pete Johnson at fullback runs into you enough times, you're looking for turf to get out of his way. And it just, man, they just, one big running play after another, just boom, boom, boom. Before you know it, it's 48-0, game over. 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Amen. We were at another game one time, and this coach was there, and this lady, Illinois, was trying. They're trying to run the ball, and you know how it is when you run the ball, everybody tries to tackle you, right? And this lady, she just said it loud enough. I'm sure she didn't mean to say it as loud as she did, but you know how that happens sometimes. You're like, oh, did I say that out loud? You know? She said, "Why does that coach always run the player into the pile?" Well, the pile's there because the player's running the ball. But they weren't going anywhere. Well, sometimes it seems like that. But see, what that running back does is he begins to practice and develops. And a good running back has what's called vision. Vision. What is vision? The vision is the ability to anticipate, imagine, or foresee experiences and developments that you may have that move you along destiny's course. In other words, it's being able to understand God's plan and God's word so well that you're able to anticipate as you go along and you're ready. How many of you have heard Pastor Hagin's story about his riding the motorcycle in the race where they rode in the woods? And there's obstacles, how that he was so concentrated on what was here, it was causing him to run slow times. But as when he was told, lift your eyesight out here and anticipate what's coming, that very next race, he qualified fast enough to get one of the trophies that they handed out. The same thing's true here with fulfilling our destiny. We have to develop the ability to anticipate. Now, in order to do that, you have to spend time with God. Now, you know, in doing assessments for people, sometimes on they're trying to get something new done in life. They're trying to do something different. Sometimes you have to decide, well, I don't have time for this. I can't, there's no more time in the day. I can't add this. But in this case, I'm going to tell you, you cannot afford not to spend time with God. You have to make it part of your day. Spending time with God is so very important. Now, here's the thing about God's plan for our life. It's going to change our life. His destiny. Before the foundation of the world, we were on God's mind. The Bible tells us that He made these plans. He planned a wonderful life for us. So here's the thing. I'm not deciding my destiny. I'm discovering my destiny. It's God-given. Right? Now, sometimes I've looked at some other ministers and different things like that and said, oh boy, I wish I could do that or whatever. And you'll hear that, but then you'll hear other times people, traveling ministers, they'll tell pastors, I don't know how you preach to the same people every week, week after week, week after week. Pastors say, I don't know how you preach the same sermon week after week, week after week as you travel around. But how many know it takes the grace of God to do both? Right? Brother Hagin used to say every traveling minister ought to have to pastor for 2 years and every pastor ought to have to travel for 2 years and they get along a whole lot better. Amen. I don't have to make it happen. I just have to get on the path that God has laid out for me. Now, a lot of times, we're trying to struggle and we're trying to make things happen, but we don't have to do that as long as we're resting in God and on his path. But it's kind of like this, if you drive on the road, it's a smooth ride most places. How many of you have been around where there's lots of, where there is no road and you're driving anyway? But for our illustration here, it's like driving in the road versus driving in the ditch. The ditch is slow and tedious and you're going to end up tearing up your vehicle. But if you stay on the road and consistently drive, and follow the rules and regulations, you will get there to the end. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is from the Amplified Classic version here, I believe. Amplified Classic. I can't imagine I would quote the new Amplified because I don't like it much. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Amplified, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. What's that tell us? We have a destiny to fulfill. You have a destiny. Every person, notice what the prerequisite was? You're born again. You're born anew. God has a predestined plan for you then. God has a plan for our lives. Think of it this way. I have a destiny to fulfill. I have a tomorrow to get, to reach out and take hold of. I'm not finished yet. We got to have that attitude. It's the same as I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. I'm not finished yet. See, whatever happens in our economy and our different things, God has a plan for our life. Whatever happens in the political realm here and around the world, God has a plan for our life. No matter how good or how difficult it gets, God has a plan for our life. Things in my life, I've got to admit, during my, the times that I was the last group of people that actually had to register for the draft, but it never was instituted. And I just kind of missed the different engagements that were going, at the time. And so I never served in the military. I could have chosen to. I almost went to the Air Force Academy, but didn't do that. But it's in looking at things in one sense, very much sense, my life hasn't been hard in that in one sense. Now, that doesn't mean that I've been able to do it by myself. I mean, I've had to have a lot of help from, I've had a lot of help, God and Amanda. Now, I've had a lot of help, okay? A lot of help, praise the Lord. And, but the idea of not quitting, it's unfortunate. It seems that, you know, and this happens all the time. You know, as you get older, you look at the younger generation and you think, ah, rah, rah, but you know what? They're going to make it. God has a plan for their life. But times, you know, time, they haven't known very much tough times, difficult times. And if they're not careful, we don't prepare them. We don't let them, you know, because nobody wants to hear about it's going to be that you're going to have to use your faith. That you're going to have to stand, and having done all to stand, stand therefore against what? The devil.
Yes, sir.
That's one thing that hadn't changed. We've got the same enemy. The one that's always opposed to everybody, same enemy. And I'm telling you right now, to me, it's more and more evident that he's come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. And what used to be on the back page is now on the front page. Amen. And it's not going to get any better out there. So that just means we have to get better at what God's called us to do. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul is an interesting look at this. How many believe, you remember Paul said at the end, I've run my race, I've finished my course? All right? You could see God said, Jesus appeared to him and said, I've appeared to, unto you for this purpose. He had a purpose, he had a plan. God had a destiny in his life. But that didn't mean it was always easy. You know, Paul found himself in tough situations obeying God. He wasn't in it because he missed God. He was in that situation because he obeyed God. So part of it is in fulfilling destiny. You know, Paul was stoned and left for dead outside the town of Lystra. But Paul wasn't done yet. He wasn't ready to quit. Remember, they gathered around him. Go over to Acts 14, we'll read it. But they gathered around him. I mean, they thought he was dead. But thank God, Paul, he may not have said it on the outside, but somewhere within him, he's hollering, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. Acts 14, 19 says, and there came, I love these words, thither and hither. Now, those are great words in the King James. There came near certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I mean, the very town, the very place that they had stoned him outside the city, he got up and went right back in it. Why? I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. Later on in his life, remember, he was on a ship that faced a violent storm, got split in half. Paul grabbed a hold of a board, and I don't know if he boogie boarded, surfed, or how he got in, but he grabbed a hold of that board and ended up on the shore. Glory to God. And you can see, you know, you understand as he stood up on that shore, there's got to be that moment there where he stood up and said, I'm not finished yet. Look in Acts 27, verse 41. You doing all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not finished yet, glory to God. Verse 41 says, falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground in four part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part or the back part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Why? Paul wasn't finished yet. I find it interesting that day that God gave him everybody on the ship's life too. The Philippians threw him into prison in Acts 16. Go over to Acts 16. For what? For preaching the gospel. For delivering a girl who had a spirit of divination. In the name of Jesus, delivering her. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. He got thrown in prison, but God sent an earthquake and shook the prison. And Paul walked out as the doors flew open. You know, they flew open. Actually, they stayed in there because when the jailer came, said, "Oh boy," he said, "That's all right. Don't do yourself any harm. Don't kill yourself. We're still here." Paul still had, why? Paul said, "I'm not finished yet." If one thing was, he wasn't finished talking to those folks yet. How many know that jailer got saved? He and his whole household. Why? Paul wasn't finished yet. See, when things come our way, when the obstacles, when the persecutions and the afflictions and the different temptations come our way, we got to learn to stand up and say, "I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet." Amen. Paul faced many other persecutions. He endured them all. He made the statement, "Out of them all, the Lord has delivered me." Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You and I make up our mind that there's nothing going to stop us from fulfilling our God-given destiny. See, when you live a life, when you live a life realizing there's a destiny involved here, there's a destination, and there's also the journey to get there. And you live it, it's got a purpose to it. I'm not just floating through life, bumping, you know, off things. Have you ever, how many of you are old enough to remember pinball machines? Some of you have no idea. The man, pinball machines. Now, there's some people that play, their ball just bumps into things. But there's other people that play those games, they direct where the ball bumps off of it. They know how to move, they know how to, they play, probably they place too many quarters in the machine. But they could move that thing, they even knew how hard they could hit the machine so it wouldn't tilt on them, you know, move it around. They played the game with a sense of purpose. Others are just, you know, shooting the ball and just boom, just bouncing around and there it went. Right? No, we don't have to live that way. Look here what Paul said in verse 23 of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Reading a little bit, he said, "Are they," I'm going to read this from the King James here first. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." I mean, you get 39 stripes, and that happened to him 5 times. 5 times. Every stripe, "I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet." Now, how can we say that? Because God's not finished with us. He's got a plan. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. I think you'd stay off boats. But a night and a day, I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, in perils of the city, in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness. All of that because he was in God's will. Amen. Every one of us are going to face many times to quit. But when you know God has a destiny for your life. In teaching a class on relevance and influence and understanding, you know, how that here, I came across an article, and I'd have to look it up to see who actually wrote it. But in the article, they said, studies have shown that the most introverted person, that means people that aren't outgoing, all right? People that they don't go up to people and talk to them, they don't know. Even if they do know them, they're just introverted, they're quiet. That person can potentially, and the average was, they will influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. 10,000 people. So what if you understood God's purpose and plan for your life? That God's purpose and plan for our life is not here. Our destination is heaven, eternity with God. So we're here on earth for a purpose. A purpose. We've been planted as seed into this earth. We are here as seed into this earth. Now, I was talking to a class here just the other day. It might have been yesterday. One thing about seed that happens that a lot of people don't know about, when you plant a seed in the ground, before it grows, it dies. It dies. So I asked this group of students, it was yesterday. Seems like weeks ago, but it was yesterday. I said, are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? Now, here's the great thing about all these things here. They'll kill the part of you that you don't need as long as you'll say, wait a minute, I'm not finished yet. Let that part die and just go on. Just go on. Hallelujah. But it's not going to be, I don't want to paint this picture like, you know, oh, it's just going to be so easy. You know, following God's the best thing you ever did in your life. You remember Brother Hagin talking about him being raised up there in the version I have in I Believe in Visions on page 17. He talks about that one pastor that came in and prayed, said, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this dear grandmother and grandfather who are about to be bereaved of their grandson. Prepare their hearts for this, for the dark hour that's about to come upon them. Now, at that point, he was in the paralysis state. He couldn't speak well. People that were around him could understand, but he couldn't speak. He said, I couldn't say anything on the outside. He said, but I was shouting on the inside, I'm not dead yet. Hallelujah. Whenever comes against your life, you got to rise up, even if it's just on the inside. Say, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished. God's plan for my life, it's not over. It's not done. Hallelujah. You know, finally, Paul preached the gospel all over his known world. And I mentioned it to you, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All of us want to get to this place in life. You remember one time he told the Philippians, he said, you know, I got a decision to make here. Because to depart and be with Christ is far better. But to stay here is more needful. And he said, I'm going to choose that which is needful to stay. But he finally got to the place where he had preached all that he needed to preach. He had visited every place he needed to visit. He had raised up every church he needed to raise up. He'd raised up every leader he needed to raise up. God's plan and purpose for his life had come to the place where now, in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Kept the faith. Paul knew his God-given destiny. It gave him purpose in life. It gave him a godly drive for living and doing what he did. Hallelujah. You know, you're here at a church that has a God-given destiny. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're not engaged in doing something at the church here, you're going to be uncomfortable. Because you can come, and we got three services a week, you can come sit in the pew, but this is a get after it church. Amen. And I hope you do get uncomfortable sitting there, but that doesn't mean leave. That's a mistake people make. As soon as it gets uncomfortable, they leave. Amen. That's one of the big things, you know, mistakes that people make. Let me give you four things that are hindrances to fulfilling your destiny. Number one, you haven't embraced God's purpose for your life yet. You haven't embraced God's purpose for your life. Now, some of you, you know God's purpose, but you're just kind of a little timid, and you don't know how it's going to happen. But again, now here, I'm going to tell you, doesn't mean after I preach this sermon, you just take off and make drastic changes. But I'm saying embrace God's purpose for your life. All right? Others, here's the second one. You think you already have the information you need to realize your destiny. You know, when I was 18 years old, I thought I had the whole world figured out. But between now and then, you say, how old are you? Well, 18, I'm about ready to be 62. So between then, 18, and now, I've gotten a lot wiser by realizing how dumb I actually am. and I need God's wisdom and God's help. You haven't learned all you need to learn yet. You don't have every revelation of God's word that you need yet. Stay active. Stay after it. Don't ever quit. Prepare. You know, we talk about it around here a lot. Preparation time is never wasted time. Number three, make the decision to get the information you need. Isn't it a truth in life, an action in life, that you get out of something what you put into it? With God, what you honor, you will receive from. If you honor God's divine destiny for your life, you will get more out of that. You'll be more satisfied in it. And as we kind of mentioned, the fourth thing that is a hindrance is thinking that there's an easy way to fulfill your destiny. God created man in the beginning, and he created him in his own image. And God came and talked with man and fellowshiped with man because man was created in his image, not angels. Man was, mankind, male and female, created he them, man. And God came and fellowshiped with him, and God's plan was that they be just like him. But then the devil came through that serpent and offered a shortcut. And I'm telling you, more people have been derailed by taking the shortcut. Single folks, having sex outside of marriage is the shortcut to intimacy you're looking for, and it'll kill you eventually. Well, why am I getting in? That's not even where my mind is. But that's true. See, shortcuts, right? You know, when you were young, you might have jumped up, but you don't. I'm 60. No, I'm not jumping off there. I'm not even, right now, sometimes you get to where you're not even tempted by some things. I'm not even tempted. Right? Glory to God. But the shortcut, Jesus came to take back dominion on this earth. And Satan said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give all this to you. For it's been given unto me. The shortcut. Adam and Eve failed the test. Jesus passed the test. Let's take his example. All right? Realize to fulfill your divine destiny, it's going to take effort. It's not necessarily going to be easy. But how many of you know the Bible says he rewards those who diligently seek him? So what do? Just make note. Don't jump ship. Don't quit your job. Don't abandon your church. Don't drop out of school. Let the Spirit of God lead you. If you got changes to make that are necessary, that's all right. Listen, God's been working with you in your life up to this point anyway. Just continually to patiently and wisely follow him as you follow your course of destiny. Learn to hear the voice of God. Spend time with him in his word and spend time with him through prayer. Hallelujah. I know this for me, and I don't know if there's people that are thinking about, you know, I don't know if I didn't think about, wasn't my goal to talk about making changes in life, but I know this for me, the thing that really helps me to separate, is this God or is this me, is when I will take, at times when I'm thinking stuff's bubbling, something's changing, I'll just spend extra time reading the Word of God. Because when I read the Word of God, I get acquainted with God's voice more. It's like talking, it's like God talking, sitting and let God talk to me as I read his Word. Then when I'm in prayer, it's amazing how much what he says to me by his Spirit sounds like the voice of his Word. So I want to give you that. Spend a lot of time in the Word of God and spend a lot of time in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. And get a hold of your divine destiny. God has a divine destiny for your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together if you would, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just lift your hands and thank God for his word tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that each and every person in this place has a God-given destiny to fulfill. Not only the destiny, but the path that leads there. And so, Father, I pray for each and every one that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Lord God, that they would know what is the hope of that calling, that divine purpose in their life. Father, I pray for each and every one that's here and anybody that might listen to this message. that they would know, not be guessing at, but that they would know. And as we each take our place and do what you've called us to do, your plan goes forward, your purpose is accomplished, lives are changed. Hallelujah. For us, the message of faith is preached around the world, and Jesus is coming back to take us home. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it, Father, in his mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you need to do that before you leave. Do not leave without coming and getting to acquainted with him as your Savior and your Lord. Ladies, come down, the ladies, men to the men. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, that's the same thing. Ladies to the ladies, men to the men. Connection team, do we have some first-time guests? Let's take them, give them that special gift. Give them a big hand clap for coming tonight. We're so appreciative. Amen. Thank you for being here. I do want to remind you that, church, that we, this Friday, we have registration for our spring term. And if they all show up, it's going to be, you know, a good number. So if you see some different folks around church here coming up in the next week or so, a couple weeks, hey, greet them. Let them know you're glad they're here. And just welcome them into the Rhema family, right? Hallelujah. All right. We clear? Everybody clear? God bless you. We'll see you here Sunday morning. School of the Bible, 9, church at 10. Amen.